the internal sins, the batini sins, they are dangerous. They are very dangerous indeed. And they are that dangerous that in one moment a person internally can be destroyed due to the batini sins. In one second, his internal state of affairs can be destroyed, wiped away. And this is the condition that can come over a person due to the batini state. For example, you have a building, externally it's strong, it's very strong, it's robust, nice bricks, nice decoration externally. But in that home, if you go inside within that structure, the building, the whole house is destroyed. There's darkness and loss everywhere. In the same way, insan, externally, he can look very beautiful and nice. Ahsanul khulqi, Allah Ta'ala says. But internally, his husn, that is the genuine article. That is what we need to look at. So, externally, everybody looks nice, beautiful, strong, robust, without any cracks. Like the building that looks strong externally. But internally, there are broken hearts, broken characters, broken issues. We don't know what's happening within the person. The storms bring. There's a statement of a pious elder predecessor that if you want to see somebody, if you want to recognize somebody, then the best way to recognize someone is that go on a journey with that person. Travel with that person, and during the journey, his internal state of affairs will become apparent. This is the experience of the elders, or a statement that's come to my mind. And then you start to see how the person is conditioned internally. For example, when you meet somebody, on the face of it, nice, sweet words, sweet statements. But when you are traveling together, giving, taking, buying, selling, transactions, business affairs, or there's a journey with somebody over a number of days, then the internal state of affairs and the character, emotions start to come out. And many people, we say that, oh, we went with this person on a journey, we thought he was something else. But what did we know? We didn't even know that he was like this. What was it? It was like that building that externally it was very beautiful and strong and big and massive, etc. But internally it was broken. And this is the batini destruction. The internal destruction, severe state, bad negative state of affairs. The person's not just deceiving himself, he's not just deceiving the dunya, rather in reality, he is trying to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. That I'm a very good person, that I'm a perfect person, that I'm the complete human being. So this is the point to, I'm mentioning that the batin, our internal soul, our internal self, our internal state of affairs, it can cause all of the destruction in this world and the hereafter. Let's take backbiting. Ghibat. Backbiting is an internal sin. It is a sin of the batin. And ghibat, backbiting, is such a sin that the total internal state of affairs of a person is spoilt and you can say blotted. And it is totally wiped away, eliminated due to this. And we don't even realize we're doing backbiting when we do it. In the previous generations, there was a statement of the Sahaba. They said that when we were living at the time of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was such that if a person had an internal deficiency, you could smell it. You could smell it. And due to that that smell of the internal sin, we wouldn't commit the sin. We wouldn't commit the sin. And the generation we're in now is further away. It's far from Rasulullah. Now, you can not just smell. Just for example, you're working in a leather factory. If you work in a leather factory, then the first day there'll be a smell. And after a few days, you'll say, where's the smell? And a new person will come to the factory and he'll put his hand on his nostrils. But the workers within will be used to that smell, the stench. They won't even feel it. In the same way, that statement says that, you know, we got so used to the sin now that nobody can smell it. And today we have all of the internal sins, and we, in environment and society, is used to these things. But it doesn't mean that that action becomes good. It's still dangerous. It's still unlawful. It's still wrong. So maybe we can't smell those sins. Maybe we can't smell them. But there are two things we have: Quran and the Sunnah. Allah's kalam, Allah's order, Allah Ta'ala's framework, and the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And via these resources, we should realize what is right and wrong. These are the two resources we have, the Muslimin have, and Allah says, hold on to these two things strongly. But we've left both of them, the Quran and the Sunnah. We're in the open playing field. Sin as much as you want, as long as externally people see you as a good person. I'm sitting in the mosque, I leave the mosque and show people I'm pious, I show people I'm doing dhikr, I recite Quran, Hafiz Sahib reciting Tarawih, leading the Tarawih prayer. Everyone thinks he's good. But the pious treatise says that this is a wretched sin, that from this sin the Khanqah is destroyed, the masjid is destroyed, and the haramain has been even spoilt by this sin. Every place a person starts to do this sin, even the most purest and sanctified of places, a person commits this sin of backbiting. Just one example of an internal sin. But let's look at the two resources we have, the two sources of guidance. How big a sin this is. We need to relate always to the source. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated regarding this sin. Think that backbiting is such a dirty action. That backbiting, it's such an impure action that what happens? That three individuals about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, three individuals have been mentioned. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the du'as of that person. Doesn't matter where he's standing and doing du'a, the person who backbites, the hukum has come. The order has come. End of story. The statement has been made. And that's it. If you've backbited, you've said it, that's it. The tongue cannot rewind. How can it be you're standing in front of the Kaaba, multazam, you're doing du'a in front of the Kaaba, people are crying there. Why are their du'as not accepted? Their du'a is so powerful. We got one tool. Allah has given us one tool, one method, that due to this method, Allah Ta'ala has made it so powerful for a mu'min, for a believer. Any problem, sadness, raise your hands and get the solution. Allah Ta'ala says, where's that power gone? Where's the energy behind the du'as? This is the reason why. Because Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who backbites, effect number one is that Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept his du'as. And then we complain, Allah, I'm raising my hands to you, I do du'as, I pray, I do holy actions. No Quran, nor does the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accept this statement of a person who backbites that his du'a should be accepted. Understand, go, how can your du'as be accepted if you are backbiting continuously? This is our mistake. It's our mistake. When a person's hands are raised and he's recited Quran, he raises hands for dua, should his dua not be accepted? If he's done dhikr and the dua is not accepted, after fard salah and he's raising his hands doing dua, it's not accepted. He's doing tawaf in front of Kaaba, in front of multazam, he's doing dua and his dua is not accepted. Such a blessed place, so holy. If you ask for a twig in front of the Kaaba, Allah will give it straight away into your hands. I remember Hazrat Garami Nur Allah Marqadar, he was there and I was there as well. And there was no water to have a bath on Jummah. This is the example of my sheikh. And our place of residence was on the road. We used to live on the road, sleep on the road, no hotel, no mattress, just tough. But we had two things we did. Either we used to look at the blessed face of our sheikh or the blessed Kaaba. There was no other objective of us, eating, drinking, sleeping. We weren't there for that. Subhanallah, due to the barakah of his sohbat, a person like me who used to sleep a lot and enjoy life and the comforts and the luxuries, and who had servants around him and nice soft beds and mattresses, and people were pressing his legs, and I used to do everything in life, and my hal became such that I used to sleep on the streets. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. That was the karam and fadl and the conditioning and the tarbiyah of my sheikh. Until today I've embraced that way of life. I've done very nice travel, I've gone on very, very luxurious travels, but that travel was great. I used to be desperate for one cup of tea, but didn't have the time. Didn't have the time. This was the tarbiyah. This is not to complain. This was enjoyment. Enjoyment in the company of my teacher. Struggling, striving, effort. There were many people calling, inviting, dawah, invitations, feasts, relatives, people who knew me. When they saw that I was sleeping rough, they used to come to meet me, my relatives, my uncle, mamuji, this, come with us. Why are you sleeping here? Why are you here? I said, that where will I enjoy the time with you when I'm enjoying my life here? In the waiting of my sheikh, I will go and grab his hand and pick up his slippers and I will lay down the prayer mat for him. This used to be the scene, alhamdulillah, the Kaaba and my sheikh and my teacher, and such a sheikh, the sheikh and the murid, the love between the two, and there's no pride, no showing off in between. This was paradise. So, anyway, I'm going off track on the discussion. What was I saying? I forgot everything. When you start to speak about your sheikh, you forget everything. Subhanallah. What was I saying? So you do tawaf in front of the Kaaba, and du'as aren't accepted. So once, I remember the Hazrat, I said, I've got a lot of sweat. I think it was June or extreme summer heat, and it was Hajj. And I'm just showing you a miracle of my sheikh. Great sheikh. And it was sweat on our body. We were tired, exhausted. And subhanAllah, this was the labasun of us. I swear by Allah. I said, I'm swearing by Allah for this reason, because this was a karamat of my sheikh, a miracle of my sheikh. That when I used to be close to my sheikh, I swear by Allah, a beautiful smell would come from his clothes. Beautiful. In other words, Allah Ta'ala in his sweat had put beautiful fragrance due to him being a dhakir. Then I used to enjoy it so much that when I used to come home, I used to go close by on purpose to my sheikh. I used to put my face next to him. So from behind, I used to sit it behind. Then I'd go and I'd put my nose near to his shoulder and smell the beautiful fragrance from my sheikh. Then I'd go back and sit with ease. I used to be refreshed, relaxed. This was a ajeeb miracle of the wali of Allah. Anyway, so Hazrat, I thought he would raise his hands. It was extreme heat afternoon, and not many people do tawaf at that time. It was a Friday, a Jummah, and it was extreme severity of the climate. And Hazrat, my sheikh, he'd crushed my desires. He said, why are you asking from me? Go to Multazam and ask for the dua you want. I said, okay, here's a recommendation. My sheikh has told me that I want to do dua, that I can get water to have a bath. Look at the yaqeen of the wali of Allah, that you'll get the water from there. Go and do the dua in front of Multazam. Let me tell you how big is dua. So I moved. I thought I'd go to the dua, to the Kaaba, after I do dua, ask for water. And then suddenly my situation changed, that this is the order of my sheikh. So I was asking my sheikh first, then my sheikh ordered me to go to Multazam, and I'm laughing upon this event, this example. I went to Multazam, I said, Allah, is Jummah, there's no water, and I don't know where I can have a bath. I just said that, and where I was resident, somebody took me by force back there, and I went there, and I said that I need to have a bath. He said, quickly, quickly, come, quickly. From 3 days the water was shut. Just 10 minutes ago the taps have started to run, the water has come back. Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. Then I started to smile. They said, quickly, quickly, we're filling up the buckets. I said, don't worry. As long as I don't go into the bathroom, you can fill up the buckets. But afterwards the water may not come after I have a bath. But as long as I'm in the bathroom, you will continue to get water. He said, why is that? I said, why? Because I'm having a bath and Allah Ta'ala has given. So I said, I will have my bath and you can fill up all the buckets, but when I leave the bathroom, I don't know if the water will still run. He didn't understand what I said. So I took a long time in the bathroom. I took my time easily, casually. It was hot and I thought, fine, they can fill up all their buckets, the vessels, containers and everything. I said, if you fill everything up, I came back out to the bathroom and then all the air started to come out the taps. No more water. Great dua. So where have our duas gone? Who are those people who said, go? That if you want water, go to the Multazam, raise your hands, Allah will give you water. Great tool for the mu'min. Great resource for the mu'min. Brothers, but we don't pay attention. We don't have the weight and power behind our dua. So what was the second point that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? First thing is that a mu'min, if he backbites, the consequence is that his dua, number one, his dua does not get accepted. So we have to look now inside ourselves and ask, whose fault is it? Mine or the dua's? It's my fault. Number two. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept his good deeds. Here, remember, we are talking about the consequences for a person who backbites. So when you backbite, you pray salah, you do all the acts of worship, do dhikr, you can do dhikr. But why doesn't it get accepted? Why don't we increase in our rank and status? Why is our heart still empty and hollow? Why does a person still think and wait for the rewards? Why does a person not feel good, at peace and satisfied? Why does he still feel dissatisfaction? And people have complaints nowadays. I've got mental issues, problems. They come back from Umrah, they're still the same. 5 minutes, 10 minutes after coming back, they become the same. The sins, etc. What is the reason for this? That we do big, big ibadats and they do not affect us in a positive way, because Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept our deeds. I'm telling you one sin. What was that sin I spoke about earlier? Speak loudly. Backbiting. Ghibat. Which for us is breakfast is backbiting, lunch is backbiting, and tea time is backbiting, and dinner time is backbiting. Telephone backbite, mobile phone backbiting, meeting someone at the mosque backbiting, on the way on a journey backbiting. And the consequences, no one is saved. As Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she was present. And a woman came, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. And when she went, as Aisha Siddiqa, our mother, the mother of the believers, Ummah, Ummul Mu'mineen, what a great status, what a great woman. And who was there? The Prophet ﷺ himself was present. And she said, O Prophet of Allah ﷺ, that wasn't this woman a bit short in height? And Rasulullah ﷺ went red in the face and said, Aisha, you've backbited. You've backbited. Oh, imagine the message. What a warning, admonishment. You've just backbited. So brothers, this is severe, this action. So what was the first thing, as I said? The first consequence and ill effect of backbiting is what? The du'as are not accepted. Number two, the deeds are not accepted. The good deeds are not accepted. And the third consequence, two have gone. And the third negative effect of backbiting, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the sins overwhelm that person. The sins start to attack that person. In other words, they come to him and break him. The sins break on his from above onto that person. They rain down that person. And his life becomes a life of sins. His life is full of the sins. Allah forgive us, my brothers. This is the consequence, the three consequences of backbiting, as mentioned and explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So should we not save ourselves from this sin? Backbiting? Backbiting, my brothers, it doesn't happen from the tongue. That is just the physical effect. That's the tool that is used to backbite. You think backbiting is implemented by the tongue? No, backbiting doesn't happen. You can control your tongue, but you still backbite. You can control your tongue because the tongue represents backbiting. The tongue is the front for the backbiting. What is doing backbiting? Your mental thinking is doing backbiting. When your thinking is dirty, when your thinking is backward and bad, that is what makes you do backbiting. So your mental thinking, your mental state of affairs, you can't cure this. Because mental thoughts is a deep process. So if you want to save yourself from this sin, what do you need to change? Not your tongue. You can't hold your tongue. You have to change your mental way of thinking. Look, let me explain to you. Ghibat, backbiting. A person comes in. That's it. What have you done? You just smiled. You didn't say nothing, but you backbiting with your sniggering. You just with your sign of the snigger, of the smiling. Did you speak? No. Did you say anything to anyone? No. You just like that. And you sniggered against somebody else. And imagine you said something on top of that. And you come in the room and you look towards someone. And someone will say, what did you say? Why did you snigger like this? Why did you smirk like this? Did the pain come? Did the tongue move? No. But the backbiting came from his brain. From his mind. Any action, if you think in the bad way, that is backbiting. And what is the cure? I'm telling you, unique points here today, brothers. These are private points, I'm telling you. Private points. Don't criticize on these points. Yeah, this is a private solution I'll give to you. You don't criticize me for this. It's up to you if you implement it, but it's me who's telling you this. Have you understood everything I've said up to now? So if you grab hold of the tongue, still you can backbite. Thing. So our thinking we need to control and change. And thinking, apart from doing the dhikr of Allah, there's no action under the sun that can correct the way of thinking to the right way. Wahid, Allah's name, is the only action that can correct your thinking. I'm telling you the reality. You do dhikr, don't you? Say alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You are Sufi brothers. Do dhikr of Allah. You remember Allah. You are the preferable group of people. Thumma alhamdulillah has chosen you. Allah has preferred you. Very great point. But you, and the person who doesn't do the dhikr of Allah, the difference between you and that person, the non-dhakir, is like the difference between the heavens and earth. We are dirty. We're not good. We are useless. But this dhikr of Allah has revolutionized our way of thinking. It's revolutionized. How? How? That if we do dhikr, then we have fikr. Yes, we do sins. Yes, we have regret. We want to stop. But one mistake we make, I'm telling you this now. One mistake we make, our friends, our colleagues here, I'm talking to you, but I'm speaking to everyone who's listening, because my words reach to everyone, my murideen in the whole world, my friends, my colleagues, my assistants, my associates. My objective is to purify all of them. I'm giving tarbiyah not just to you, but everyone. Inshallah, this sabak will reach everyone. I'm happy, and I get the responses from people. They are, Hazrat, I've left this, I've left that. So this is a complaint to all of my marids, women and brothers, sisters and brothers. And this is not my complaint. This is Allah's complaint. And this, I want to tell you this point today, that you're not sincere. You are not sincere with your sheikh. You're not sincere with your own self. I'm speaking strictly today. Forgive me. that you are my elders, my friends, my brothers, they're scholars, they're ulama hai, and I join my hands together and say to you, forgive me, that you're not sincere with yourself, you're not sincere with others, you're not sincere with your teacher, you're not sincere with your work. Yes, Allah Ta'ala has given you this path, Allah sat you in the boat, Allah sat you in such a rail track that is taking you to the heavens, but you don't want to travel on this path. You don't want to get to your destination. You're not sincere in this deen. What answer will you give to Allah? This is a special, special, unique, and unique from millions Allah's chosen one person, this person, that person, from millions Allah's chosen you. In your village, city, locality, how many people live? How many men come here? How many people have come to the deen? This insan, this individual, this, why has Allah chosen you? So you don't backbite. Allah loves you. Allah loves us because He doesn't want us to backbite. How much does Allah love us that from the whole city town Allah has chosen you, Allah has chosen you and sat you here, Allah has chosen this brother and sat him here. Allah Ta'ala has made your heart field for you to come here today. It's not us who's brought us here. It wasn't my daring and my braveness and my energy that brought me. It's Allah's mercy, Allah Ta'ala's blessings that have brought us to this path. Not my dhikr, but Allah Ta'ala, what does He want to do? He wants to make us come here and purify us. This majalis, these gatherings are for Allah to purify us, but we don't want to become pure. We don't want to become pure. I'm saying this with da'wah. I'm sharing this thought with you. We don't want to be corrected. We don't want to be purified. We're not sincere. We're jokers. We're jokers. We're false. We're not grateful. That one sin, I've told you how severe it is. One sin. And we say, oh, nice, okay, our du'as will be accepted. We can do this sin. What difference does it make? Are we just too strict, too severe? We accept that our good deeds won't be accepted. We wanted that our du'as don't be accepted. We wanted that all our deeds go to the drain. Why? Because the reason is that me and you don't struggle. We don't make effort. Otherwise, sins? What is sin in front of a mu'min? Allah's given you a sheikh. Allah's given you a sheikh. And to go to the sheikh, the biggest objective to go to the sheikh, to the teacher. What is it? What is the biggest objective? What is it? One maqsad, one objective, one reason to have a teacher, to rectify yourself, to improve yourself, to purify yourself. If a kutab aktab comes now to me and gets bayah, pledges allegiance, then he will have a niyah that I'm not kutab, I've become the murid of the sheikh, and then it means I'm the sheikh, he's the murid, and he's come for islah, rectification to me. And I'm telling you the reality, so many times this has happened in the history of the Sufis. That a so-called small sheikh and the biggest sheikh of that time in his locality, he goes to the other sheikh. He doesn't go as a sheikh. He goes as a student to get rectification as one maqsad. When you go to a sheikh, a wali of Allah, you don't go for nothing else except your islah. To improve yourself, to become a human being, to become a person, to become a man. So when a person comes for islah, when the sheikh gives you a prescription, do this, he'll give you some verbal instructions and practical instructions. And then you have to strive and make effort. That's why I'm saying to you, your sheikh, he strives himself. I've given you a chart, I've given you sheets. How many of you give your sheets to me? How many of you are fikr to kill these sins? How many of you in the 40 days, the 30 day sheet I've given to you, how many of you come and give and submit your sheets? How many women submit their sheets? Someone says, I'm lazy. Someone says, I've done it. Fail. Everyone's fail. Total failures. From that, don't go on that date that a person has come out of obedience. He has rejected Allah Ta'ala and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sayings. And what is the punishment of backbiting? Why are there big punishments for backbiting? For backbiting, why is there such a big punishment? Allah Ta'ala says, ba'dukum ba'da. Number one, number two. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't do ghibah, don't backbite. It's worse than zina. Adultery. Two orders, one from Allah and the second from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Both orders and instructions. When we backbite, then we are breaking the hukum, the order of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's Quranic verses on backbiting and there's hadith, many on backbiting. Allah says, don't backbite, I backbite. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, don't backbite, I backbite. So I'm rejecting Allah's order and I'm rejecting Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's order. Both of them. And on top of that, if Quran has given us examples, I'm even breaking the instructions of my sheikh. So I'm breaking three orders. So what a waste of time, a person who then sits and does dhikr of Allah. What a waste of time. What will you answer to Allah on the Day of Judgment? So we realize from here, our intention is not correct. Our niyyah is not correct. To this extent, Allah Ta'ala brings a person Subhanallah. Allah drags a person, despite all of what I've said, Allah so karam and rahmah and mercy, He brings a person to purify, make him pak, clean him. Allah Ta'ala brings his body, his zahir, his batin. Allah Ta'ala makes his wali his servant, because his wali starts to run after the student to assist him, to cajole him, to guide him. And the student says, reject, I don't want your instructions, teacher. Don't give me instructions. He doesn't want to leave the sins. He doesn't want to work hard. He openly rejects Allah Ta'ala's guidance. Okay, let's say you can't leave the sins, but you've got a methodology. You just have to tell me, is it breaking or are you fixing the sin? But you have to follow that guidance, don't you? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's all you have to do. And you still have to beg you, your shaykh presses his hands together. Rasulullah has told you, Allah's angels come and say, for the sake of Allah, leave this sin. Astaghfirullah Ta'ala Rabbi. How sad, how bad. Tell me, insan, human being, such pathetic situation a person's gone into. He jokes with the deen. How can a person dare? 30 days pass and he doesn't come to his sheikh with the shi. He doesn't have time to submit. He doesn't know that he's doing a big sin, that he's rejecting the sheikh's orders. This is tasawwuf, I'm telling you. And for us, we think, sheikh and murid. If the sheikh says, come here, he leaves everything and runs to the sheikh's service. As a Mujaddad al-Fthani, rahmatullahi, the Shaykh, the Mujaddad, after 1,000 years, he was in his hujra, in his room, and he was in the severe afternoon heat, and Hazrat Baqi Billah, rahmatullahi, his Shaykh, and he was from his home, he shouted, Mujaddad, where is he? Where's Shaykh Ahmad? Because that was his name, he was a Shaykh himself, wasn't he? The student himself, but he didn't say Shaykh Mujaddad, he said, where's Ahmad? His Shaykh said, Baqi Billah. And someone went, another student went and gave him the news. He ran bareheaded, barefoot. He ran to Hazrat Baqi Billah, rahmatullah. He said, Shaykh, you've called me. That is when a person becomes a mujaddad. If a person doesn't even obey his Shaykh, how will he obey Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We don't even have a mindset, mentality to understand the love, the respect, the adab, the instructions, the prescriptions of the Shaykh, the Shaykh's status. The question doesn't arise. How dare a person reject the Shaykh's guidance? You have to pick up, we know how to put the shoes in front of the Shaykh. We know how to put the coat of the Shaykh. This is deception and delusion. This is showing off and pride. This is in khidmat of the Shaykh. This in service of the Shaykh. I don't need, oh, you've opened the door for my car, you sit me in the car and drop me home. You call this service? You call this khidmat? Khidmat of the Shaykh is that when you, the student, you've been prescribed instructions, guidance, and then due to you fulfilling that, you get the dua from the mouth of the Shaykh. That's khidmat. Do those actions, isn't it? I remember an event of a pious predecessor. He said, a buzurg, he had murids, waste of time murids like us. They do silly actions, sins all day long, and he smiled. And I remember this event, and I'm not saying that this applies, but he's, because subhanAllah, he was daif, he was weak, and once he had a need, a requirement, and there was no assistance there. So mashallah, there were many students around him picking up the shoes, and he didn't need all of these service actions. Yeah, I know all of these things. What do you think? I don't know how to do these things. What is this? Picking up the shoes and serving the sheikh and giving them lift. Is this why you've come to the gathering? So when he had a need, so there was a problem at home, there was a difficulty, something broke or the roof fell down or collapsed. There was an issue and there was no one there to help the sheikh. When you ask someone, I'll go soon. Everyone left, right, back. No one came. Subhanallah. Khidmat is when a person is in difficulty and you remove the difficulty from that person, that's when the dua comes out. Not that four people are there, one person's putting the sheikh's coat on, one's giving him the shoes and the socks. You call this khidmat? When the Shaykh can do it himself, this is just playing with your nafs and you're showing to people, I'm serving the Shaykh. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is pride. This is not, alhamdulillah, I'm serving my teacher, I'm assisting him in his everyday needs. Do those actions that remove the difficulty from that person's life that will earn you the du'as that on time you are assisting him in the time of need and desperation. But left and right before that, 10 times, 100 times, you can do what you want, but it won't be of any use. And then you don't see that student, he bypasses. When there's desperation and time of need and criticality, then they run away from the back street, from the back door. Then you can't see, they don't know the Shaykh at that time, they're worried about themselves at that time, because they're worried about their own life. So as I was saying, that we are not serious. We're not sincere. We're not serious about this line of tasawwuf. We've become a weird jamaat of mine. And I'm amazed that what I say, the instructions, these old people, 30, 40, 50 years, they've been with me, they're a waste of time. waste of time, deception, fraud students. They don't improve their life. If you wanted to improve your life, when your share came with a mission, Allah Ta'ala gave me a mission to teach prescription of life so you can purify your hearts and your lives and leave the sins. When you give your sheets in, you lie, you tick incorrectly, you try to present yourself as a wali, as a buzurg. This is between you and Allah. Allah will grab. Let me tell you the reality here. Let me, and forgive me for going on and dragging on, but I have to say these things. I'm not saying this just to you. Everyone is listening. Thousands of people, of my students, thousands, in the tens of thousands, brothers and sisters, how many people have obeyed my instructions? Ask yourself, what have you come to me for? Why are you my students? Why am I your sheikh? What is my link? How will I answer to Allah on the day of judgment? I work hard. One sin, I'm telling you, backbiting. And despite being Sufis, you do dhikr of Allah, you remember Allah, you do tasbihs. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah's Quran gives you hukam, and the solutions given to you, the prescriptions given to you, and the shaykh works hard, and he's prepared to work hard, and he's prepared to give his time. He's old, he's distressed, and he's ill all the time, but he's willing to run after you, to sacrifice his time, because this is for the sake of Allah, and this servant human being of Allah will go to paradise. But you still reject. You still reject. Will you practice today what I will say? How sad, we've lost the shame. Be gharat we are. We have no gharat. We have no gharat with Allah, with Rasulullah Sallam, nor with your Shaykh. What relationship do you have with your Rabb when you continue to sin openly? My brothers, understand what I'm saying today. Understand the severity of one sin. There's no competition here. Oh, he's this Shaykh, and this is the student of this Shaykh. He's the best student. La hawla wa la quwwata. I send lanat, curse on this. I don't think I'm a Shaykh. I don't think I'm pious. I am nothing special. I'm just here with the instructions of my teacher. Go and revive the hearts of the people and save them from hellfire. And this is my Shaykh. He prepared me with this mission, and I came with this objective. I don't want nothing from my students. No khidmat, no service, no greed, nothing of the dunya. I just want one thing. What I say to you, practice it. 30 days you have a sheet and you don't tick it. After 30 days, come, be honest, submit it. I didn't do this, I did this, and I'll be happy you're trying. And if you come and 5-6 months you haven't come with the sheets, you don't even know, you don't even have any feelings, and you lie when you come eventually with a bundle of sheets. Oh, I did this for 30 days, this is my sheets for 3 months, 4 months. There's no need to come after that long, just like your backbiting's gone. There's no sin within you. Pick your hands up. Who is here who doesn't backbite? Who here doesn't do backbiting? We are Sufi. Because I say, oh, I'm not backbiting. I fill in the sheet. The person who backbites, his prayers, his dhikr, his salah, his masjid, coming to the masjid is a waste of time. I'm not saying this. Who's saying this? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my brothers, think, change your thinking. And how will the thinking change? How will the thinking change? By the dhikr of Allah. And the shaykh, your teacher, who wants to give you the cure for your deficiencies, accept it. If you want to travel on this path with me, fine. Otherwise, take hold of your own path. You go your way and that's it. I don't have no desire. But what I desire is, we don't know how long is life. When we pass away and stand in front of Allah, Allah is happy that this individual was chosen by me. Look at the people Allah has chosen for this path. Such sinners, a sinner like me, Allah chose. Look at my capacity. What was I before? What was I before? What was my condition? What was our condition? Where were we? We were standing in the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala showed us the path. Allah gave us tawbah. And what gratefulness have we got? What gratitude? How can I say? How can we say we're clean? I've told you one sin. We've got so many tens of sins within us. Is there one brother here who can say he's free from all sins? Okay, if you think you are, start to strive and make work, hard work. The shaykh used to give you a list and prescribe to you the instructions, the guidance. Allah, we kept on trying. Even then we kept on sinning, but we kept on trying. So will you continue to strive and make effort? Say inshallah. That's it. I don't want to ask you to do anything more. There's nothing else to say. Brothers, backbiting is severe. May Allah Ta'ala save us from this sin. It's a very severe sin. It destroys the human being. It destroys him. If your batin, internal soul is clean, then Allah's tajalliyat and nearness and qurb will come to you. Allah's mercy will come upon us. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen. Forgive me. I spoke strictly today and firm and scold. I put my hands together and ask you to forgive me. You are like my children. I have to do something. Sometimes you have to speak to the children with love, and sometimes strictly. If there's something lacking, we have to fulfill that gap. Recite Durood Sharif.